I think it is a real joy, privilege, a blessing, and an honor to be able to be here another Monday afternoon. We are thankful for God's eternal love, His precious love, which said a multitude of times, His perfect love. He's the only one that has the perfect love. And outside that, we have a human love, and that's, of course, at its best, it's false and full of holes, sometimes often selfish, not meaning to be. But just being human, we have those characteristics, those traits. We were shaped in iniquity and born in sin, having a depraved, fallen nature. In this wretched flesh, we have to work hard at not being selfish and making decisions. But I'm glad God has a perfect love, and I've been born to that love. I've had the second birth, the Lord from heaven, a spiritual birth. That's the part I delight in. I love Him, and I appreciate Him loving me and putting His love inside of me. Now, I know I need more of His love. His love's in me. It's freely for me to use if I'll just yield myself and give myself His precious will. And I want to do that so I can be fully motivated and led and used in His service for the salvation of precious, never-dying souls. I want to see everybody go to heaven. I don't want anybody to miss heaven. Neither does God, neither does Jesus. Jesus Himself sacrificed Himself for our sins, freely gave Himself, that anybody that might believe the gospel, repent of sins, receive Him as their atonement for their sins, could have this free gift of eternal life. Whosoever believeth in Him could have everlasting life. Beloved, when you receive Him as your personal Savior, He transforms you and changes you, quickens you, and makes you alive. Your life is never, ever the same. I've experienced that 40 years ago. Something wonderful happened to me. I've said it many a time, I've never got over it. It's just gotten better and better and better and better. How wonderful it is to know Him as my personal Savior. I knew about Him before I got saved. I've always knew, from a little lad of a boy, as far back as I can remember, I knew who Jesus was. I just didn't know Him as my personal Savior. He never was personal to me. He never had forgave me because I never had repented, turned from sin, and gave up myself. But when I was about 23 years old, God dealt with me. God gave me a place of repentance. I got broken, contrite. I gave up myself, my personal desires, all my ambitions. I was sick of myself and sick of sin. I wanted forgiveness of my sins, and I called upon Him with a broke heart and a contrite spirit, and the Lord saved me just like I was. I said last week, I'm ashamed of most Baptists. I'm a Baptist preacher, a God-called preacher, but a Baptist preacher, but yet I'm in the Baptist denomination, my faith in Jesus, but I'm a Baptist loved by choice, and I'm ashamed of most Baptists. Most Baptists I know need to get saved. Not many of them are saved. I can say the same thing about other denominations, beloved, other organizations. The majority of them's not saved. They're lost in sin. Beloved, they've got a head nod and a lip service and an empty heart. But I'm glad I've been saved by the marvelous, amazing grace of God. And I don't deserve it. I didn't obtain it within myself. I'm certainly not worthy of it. If I got my just due reward, I'd already be burning in hell. But I'm glad God had mercy upon me, a sinner, 40 wonderful years ago. Something wonderful took place inside of me. He took out, performed, the Bible said, the operation of faith. Faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And by the way, the weapon piece, the tool to use to operate on you with, beloved, is the soul of the Spirit, is the word of God. He took the word of God, divided asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, gave me the sermon, an understanding of their seeking intent and thought of my heart. When He brought to light my sins, beloved, He told me what I needed to do to get saved, and I repented of my sins. I turned from sin. I gave up sin, and I accepted Him as the atonement for my sins. And, beloved, He became my personal Savior. The propitiation, the atonement for my sins. He that knew no sin, the Bible said, became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I know I got saved. The atoning blood made, beloved, the atonement for my sins, sacrificial death, that He gave at Calvary, proof for iniquity. The Bible said, the chastisement, my peace, what I had coming, was upon Him. I should have died and went to hell, but He took my place. He was my substitute, the propitiation, the atonement for my sin. He that knew no sin, thank God, became sin to me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm justified because of what Jesus done for me. Beloved, I'm sanctified through the blood. I'm talking about the inward part of me. I've already been cleansed and sanctified, beloved, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said outside the shedding of the blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness for sin. Thank God for the blood, God's own Son, the Lamb without spot, the Lamb without blemish, the slaughtered Lamb, the suffering servant, sacrificed for the sins of the world. He is none other, beloved, than the lovely, ever lovely Lord Jesus Christ, the great mediator between God and man, that man being Christ Jesus. He has the unchangeable priesthood because He ever lived. And, beloved, He's in heaven itself, on the right, on the mercy seat, on the right hand of the Father, intercede with saints according to the will of God. I'm glad we have somebody representing us before God Almighty. If we did not and didn't have somebody such as He is, beloved, the great merciful high priest, the great mediator, He sacrificed Himself, paid the ultimate price for our sins, gave Himself and His life at Calvary, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace, what we had come in years it was upon Him, took our place. Thank God. He that knew no sin literally became sin for us. Beloved, taking our place, being our substitute, He took our stead, took our place and tasted of death for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Died, beloved, at Calvary, gave up the ghost, and made an offering of sin, took our punishment, took our place. The soul dropped off down, beloved, in the hell. But the Bible said, in supper, His Holy One to seek refuge, and I left His soul in hell. The third morning, Sunday morning, the first day of the week, the Lord's day, He got up from the dead. Yes, up in the grave He rose. He rose a victor of the dark domain, lives forever, and He reigns. He's the reigning, ruling Christ. He's the Son of God, the Savior of all mankind. And, beloved, there is not any other way, no other access, no other way from earth to heaven. Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot, will not enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to experience the new birth. And of course, the new birth means to be born a second time. That's a spiritual birth. The first man was an earthly man. Beloved, that was a fleshly birth, a water birth. You're born in a water bag, and that's what Jesus was implying. He's talking to Nicodemus. You've got to be born of water, all right, and of the Spirit, He said. Must be born of water and of the Spirit. And the water represented the fleshly birth. Nicodemus posed the question to Him. He said, I'm an old man, and how in the world am I going to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? That's a fleshly birth. Jesus said, Nicodemus, that's water, right? You must be born of water and of the Spirit, beloved. You must be born again. And by the way, He didn't say born again. That's an impossibility. You didn't have to be born but one time, get in this fleshly world, in this fleshly body. Beloved, you then one time only get to heaven. Jesus said you must be born again one time. Beloved, when you get saved and born the second time, I'm talking about really being saved. I'm talking about being saved by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus coming into your heart, transforming you and changing you. I promise you, it'll make you a brand new man on the inside. Your life, I'll guarantee the old things will pass away. All things will become new to you. Now, I'm not talking about a case of the new betters, turning over a new leaf, being religious, and a case of the feel betters, a do good, beloved. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having a personal experience in grace. Of course, when you get saved, I'll guarantee you, you will do better. You will feel better. You won't have any condemnation on the inside. God put a new spirit in you, divine spirit. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can promise you your life won't ever, ever be the same. I used to have a lot of bad habits, drinking, smoking, cussing, and gambling, baby. When I was a young man, I wasn't the worst of all that, but I was bad enough. And of course, I was a sinner, wretched and vile and undone, and well went to hell if the Lord hadn't had mercy upon me. But I partake of those kind of things because I was seeking something to satisfy. And the Bible said that's the pleasure of sin proceeds. And by the way, that's why people commit sin, for the pleasure that they find in sin. If there's no pleasure there, they wouldn't be committing sin. But sin does have pleasure. It brings pleasure to one's flesh. But never satisfaction, love it to the soul. Only the Lord Jesus can fill up that empty vacuum, that hunger, that condemnation, that all that on the inside, that turmoil, beloved, that warfare that's going on inside you, beloved, in the real you, eternally inside that house, the earth house, that body of clay that you house, then there's a real inner man inside there, beloved. There's a spiritual man. There's a man that's in the likeness and image of God inside that old earthly body. But, beloved, it's grown, and of course it wants to be delivered. The only thing and only one that can live you from sin is the blood, the atonement that Jesus gave at Calvary, the sacrificial blood. Outside the shedding of the blood, there's no remission for sin. But when you get saved and born again, the Bible said, therefore, if any person, any man, that means mankind, any person being Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new to you. When I got saved, my drinking, my smoking, my gambling, my cussing, those things left me. I didn't have to think about quitting them. I had no longer desire to run like that, walk like that, and talk like that. I had greater things in my heart, beloved, and on my mind. I want to get closer and get cleaner. I'm talking about my flesh, my inside, my spirit. I've already been justified and sanctified and cleansed by the blood. I was a brand new man, had a new dwelling of somebody living in me, God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Beloved, He's still in me. And he won't ever forsake me or leave me alone. He'll be with me always and in me, even in the end of the world. The Bible said to the Christian, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Eternal salvation. Jesus said, my sheep have eternal life. They won't ever perish. He said, no man's able to pluck them out of hand. If you were saved, you'd understand what I'm talking about. There are those meatheads and dummies and they call themselves evangelists and so-called ministers and preachers. God have mercy on those goons. They think they're perfect. They think they're something special. And they got a snarling, running down nose, look down everybody else. Love it. They need a dose of salvation. They got a head, not a lip service, and they ain't God. They're a bunch of vultures, a bunch of ungodly vultures. Love it. They never had a transformation or a change. When you get saved, God will put his love inside of you. Then it's up to you. Let his love be grounded and rooted in his love, and let his love be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, that they might overtake this old Adam man. To do that, you've got to crucify, mortify, put the dead, the deeds of this stinking flesh every day. I have a problem with me, that is Gerald, every day. The old flesh, he flares up, he rears up, he wants to do things contrary to the will of God. That's the human part about me, but I'm glad there's a greater the part that's on the inside. That's the part that I delight in. But I don't have any confidence in this stinking flesh. My delight's in the law of God is why I must meditate, want to meditate both day and night. I might be like that tree that's planted by the waters. I might be able to bring forth fruit in due season. Beloved, there's a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. Time to be born, time to die, time of peace, time to war, beloved. Time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. Time for you to be saved, beloved, and you can send away your day of grace. You can wind up going on and turning the deaf ear to the call of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the best that goes so far out, you can't ever be dealt with again. Be careful about, beloved, what you do for the Lord Jesus. The Bible said to seek the Lord while he may be found. It's telling you something, only when he can be found. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Beloved, there's a day of salvation and an accepted time. The scripture says so. You better take heed. You better take earnest heed. Better not let the devil cheat you and beat you out and drive you away from the gospel. The gospel's the only hope you have, the only hope you need of getting to heaven outside the preaching of the word of God. But there's no salvation. The Bible said it's pleased God by the fruit of the preaching to save them that believe. You can't believe, you heard, can't hear without a preacher. He cannot preach, beloved, except he be sent. God, help you to realize salvation is a free gift of God. The price is paid. The way it's made. You can come get a drink out of well living water. Never thirst again. If you come and he speaks to you, repent of your sin, give up yourself, beg his mercy, accept his blood as atonement for your sin, and call on him and ask him to save you. If you do that with a whole heart, I promise you that he will. I see my time is just about gone. Won't you write to us, pray for us. God bless you is our prayer in his name. Amen.